Thankful that God has spared our life and given us a place on His calendar of eternity. And we're so thankful and grateful that all of you are here. And if you may be visiting with us today, we surely hope and trust that our services will be such that will be conducive to you wanting to come again and join us for our hour of worship. And we hope and pray that you'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. My lesson is entitled, Desperate. Desperate for Deliverance. And I hope that all of you will be here. I join with Ben and others in thanking you all for coming and for this wonderful week of Thanksgiving. It is almost hard to believe that Thanksgiving is here. That means Christmas is right around the corner, and the new year, 2025, is approaching very quickly. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about counting your blessings instead of your burdens. You know, most of us carry our burdens with us wherever we go. And a lot of us really describe our life in terms of burdens instead of blessing. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, when Paul was writing or addressing the church at Corinth, he wrote these words and said, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." You know, we all have burdens. I don't care who we are. And every one of us, you may have some kind of physical affliction that is going on in your body. Maybe have problems hearing, maybe problems seeing, problems with your memory. My kids have been teasing me about my memory. And I just can't wait for Christmas to get here and them not find any eggs under the tree. But anyway, I'm thankful and grateful today that God blesses us in spite of the burdens that we all face. You may have come with a burden, but this morning you don't have to leave with it, for Christ said that you can cast it on Him. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible actually tells us what to do with our burdens. "For every man shall bear his own burden." That is true. But you would remember also in the same contextual study, the Apostle Paul said that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I like the words that give me great encouragement here that are on the screen. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that says, "Casting all of your cares or your burdens on Him, for He careth for you." Again, when Christ gave the invitation for people to follow Him, it was to come unto me. He is the one that we go to find relief for the great burdens that we bear in this life. And He will provide the rest that is needed. Psalms 55 and verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Psalm 7 and verse 17, "I will give to the Lord thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High God." So we need to move away from our burdens and start thinking about our blessings. Today upon a bus, I saw a beautiful girl with golden hair, someone said. I envied her. How I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but she passed with a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet and the world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the boy who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate with the greatest of cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, "It's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find." He turned and he said, "Oh, thank you, sir. and then I saw that he was blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes, and the world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a young girl with eyes of blue. She stood and watched others play. It seemed she knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" She looked ahead without a word, and then I knew she could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, for I have two ears, and the world is mine. And with feet to take me where I'd go, and with eyes to see the sunset's glow, and with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine, O God. Forgive me when I whine. You know, most of us whine so much about so many trivial and mundane things in life. And we fail to acknowledge that there is a God in heaven who is watching out for every one of us. He is the one that makes provision for every person in this life. And what a great God that we serve. Did you know that the real difference between those who are aware of the love of the Father and those unaware is gratitude? Gratitude. But we live in such an unthankful world today. People express little gratitude. They fail to say thank you or I appreciate you. You are important to me. I am indebted unto you. I recognize you for what you are and what you say. When Paul was writing the treatise to the church in Rome, in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 21, I want you to notice something here in this passage that bears out what I was saying a moment ago. Paul said, because that when they knew not God, or when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to focus in on those words in blue. Neither were they thankful. Do you think that embodies our world today? I think it does. I think our world could be characteristic, or the traits that were so prevalent then of mankind are so true today. People are so ungrateful for things that God provides for us. I think about all the material things that God provides for us. We're certainly in touch with that. And we're in touch with the health that God has made available to each and every one of us. That you're able to be here this morning. We don't have a reason to whine. We have a reason to rejoice and to be glad because God has blessed us. I think about the hope of heaven. And I think about the salvation that was procured for us at the cross 2,000 years ago when our Lord came to this world and died for fallen man. And you and I had opportunity this morning to reflect upon what we call the Lord's Supper or the communion, the fellowship, the horizontal relationship that we have with each other as well as the vertical that we have with our God who is in heaven. But Paul says, neither were they thankful. How thankful are you this morning? Pause just a moment to think about your own life. When was the last time you said thank you to someone? I would tell you this morning that praise is not like the caboose of a train that just follows what happens, but it's more like the engine of the train that really makes things happen. That's what praise is. And when we come together in the presence of our God, we have come this morning not to just follow everybody else, but to follow our God. And let's set the stage for the praise and the glory that should be given unto Him. You know, worship time is such a beautiful thing. I love to come into the house of God with the collective saints and bring glory and honor unto God. Worship does a lot of things. It opens the heart. First of all, we are to worship God from the heart, the Bible teaches. It purges the imagination. That's why we have on the PowerPoint various scenes and representations of the truth that we may be talking about. Is because sometimes when we're sitting in a pew, our mind has a wonder that it kind of drifts off away from the very moment that we're thinking about. And so actually worship is a time for us to purge our imagination and to think about things that are high and holy. It quickens or makes alive the great conscience that God has given unto you and unto me. And it devotes the will to God. I hope that we are all devoted unto God. I hope that we are. We must be. And our worship must be true. John 4 and verse 24. The book of 1 Thessalonians is a great book, and it bears many great truths. One of them is found here in the 5th chapter and verse 18. Paul the apostle said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." He didn't say, if you're reading the King James Version, it says, "Give thanks in all things." Now, he didn't say for all things, and we ought to do that as well. But he says, "Give thanks in every circumstance or in any situation where you may find yourself. Give thanks unto God." You mean give thanks for the bad times? Yes. Give thanks for the bad times, because those times can be times of learning and digesting something we may not learn otherwise. David said one time, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." You know, sometimes we learn more in the dark room of life, when things are not going so well, than in the light. Psalms 107 and verse 1, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever." And that's why God says we ought to be living a life of gratitude, living that life. And when it comes to understanding the Bible, we do not have a lack of information. We have a lack of application. If you heard the message this morning, or if you continue to listen to it, and I hope that you will, your mind will not wander, but that you'll listen to what we're saying here this morning, I hope that you'll digest that and then go out into the world and make application of what was said. Don't just hear it and walk out of here saying, "Well, I'm going to take my old burden with me." Don't do that. Burdens are lifted, we sing, at Calvary, are they not? Let me tell you this morning why I am thankful for this church, and I am indebted to this body of Christ. It's a wonderful church. I've had the opportunity to be here for 53 years, a rarity in today's world. But it has been a tremendous blessing, and I have stayed here for a number of reasons. Certainly because you love us, and you're interested in truth, and you believe in standing up for truth. How thankful are you for the body of Christ at Crockett Road? We should be. I want to tell you why I love my church, this church. Because Scripture takes precedence over tradition. Do you know a lot of churches move by tradition? Whatever they have traditionally done, whether it's right or wrong in the eyes of God, or according to the holy dictates of God's eternal Word or Scriptures, they follow those traditions instead of following the truth that is given in the Word of God. You and I will be judged by what we do with truth. Jesus said in John 8 and 32 that the truth shall make you free. You shall know it, and the truth shall make you free. He said in the 17th chapter of that same book, and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth." You know, it's not really accidental, or it's not at random, that God calls Jesus truth. He is called the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 1 through 6. And Scripture at this church takes precedence over tradition. We all ought to be thankful for our church family. It's a wonderful family. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. I think about the thankful prayers of the Apostle Paul. He said to all who are in Rome, beloved, God called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know, everybody knows the Crockett Road Church of Christ in Palestine. Everybody in our brotherhood knows about it, I can tell you that. And they know this church to be a sound, reputable body of believers who are upholding the truth of God's Word. We have become a catalyst in East Texas. And I'm not, I guess you could say I am boasting about it. Because it's a great and wonderful thing. We are not like a church in Sardis. We are not like a church in Ephesus. We are not like a church in Laodicea that left its first love. But we are a body of believers that love God, are endeavoring to do His will. In Romans 1 and 7, Paul says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. And without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And I would challenge you to do the same thing. To make mention of this church when you go before the throne of God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Philippians 1 and verse 3. Someone said one time that gratitude is the best attitude. And I really think that is true. You want to have a heart for God? Have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Did you know last week, believe it or not, 8 billion people are now living, a little over that, on the face of this earth. Think about that. Born, 8 billion people, not million, billion. Now consider that. How many of those are children of God? Did you know that according to a survey by AAA, that actually came out this last Wednesday, this Thanksgiving week, 46 plus 9 million people in America will travel about 50 miles or more from their home to visit family and friends. Now consider that. We are a mobile people. And it's fine for us to be mobile, but we must not move away from the teaching of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is the highest number in the past and 8 years, about 300,000 more than last year. Consider that. That's a lot of travel. But did you also know that according to some estimates, as many as 16 million people in America travel to their church every week? Ought to be a whole lot more than that. You know, we have a lot of visitors that frequent our church. I've got to offer a little commendation now to Braden May for bringing his friends, his football team friends, for the last month, I suppose, this here at Crockett Road. And we appreciate your being here. You encourage us, you inspire us, and I just want you to know that we're grateful for your presence. It's amazing how those people can get up in time to get here for worship an hour away in Maybank, Malakoff. Think about it. And we have trouble getting here on time for worship. That says something about us, folks. It does. If you talk to most church-going people, not many are grateful for their church family. We take her for granted. In fact, most of them are unhappy with their church family, and some are disappointed with their church family for some reason or another. Yet other people look at their church family as a burden. They say, I've got to get up and go to church. No, you don't have to. I came this morning because I wanted to be here. I look at it and I say, boy, thank God that I can get up and go to church. I'm able-bodied. I have two legs that will help me get there. But sometimes people treat it as dispensable and as unnecessary. Some people say, it's all right if that's what you want to do, but I can live without it. Can you? Many times people mention the church, but it's not in prayer. It's in gossip, in criticism, in the anger and disappointment. And if you have a problem with the church at Crockett Road, as I've told you before, start praying for it, and it will amaze you what God will do for your attitude. He will not only change the situation, but He will also change your heart toward the family of God at this place. What is Paul praying for? I can think of a few things that he must have mentioned in his prayer to God. He says, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged in life and walk away from the church. Maybe he was praying, why don't you become more like Jesus? More like Him. But sometimes people just fade away. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and verse 6. There should be a greater hunger for truth, a greater thirst for the Word of God, for the fountain that will flow forever, that wells up within us, Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 4. And to become well grounded in the truth of God's Word. Some people never grow and develop. But the Lord who is faithful will establish and guard you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. Don't fade away. Perhaps Paul was saying, keep them united, loving, kind, and patient toward each other. Working together in the vineyard of God, and don't fade away from doing that. Perhaps Paul was praying that they might fulfill the great commission of Jesus in Matthew 28 by going into all the world and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But sometimes people are just not thankful. I've come to believe that a thankful heart builds up the church, not tears it down. I'm thankful, secondly, for the church's focus. You know, the focus of this church has always been on the lost, the unsaved, making Christ visible. I'm thankful that this church is doing that. I'm thankful that we do it locally. I'm thankful that we do it by way of television, and give me the Bible all over our world, folks, and by the internet. It's amazing that we're able to do exactly what Christ said that we are to do. That is our mission. Making Christ visible to a world that has been blinded by Satan and his diabolical schemes. Everything else pales in comparison to Jesus, my Lord. Did you see this last week where someone paid $1 million for this, $6 million for this work of art? How many of you saw that? Anybody? That's true. It was on an auction, and they sold a banana fastened on a board with duct tape for $6 million. That man is in room 2 at the psychiatric ward. But could you imagine people You know, there's no mistake about our Lord. To know Jesus and to make him known is what we are about. I will bless you so you will be a blessing to me. That's what God says, Genesis 12 and verse 2. And you and I have been blessed of God to bless other people and to bless the God who is in heaven. The churches today are trying to make a name for themselves. I'm here to make a name for my Lord and Savior. Amen. Some people are here and they think their existence is for the purpose of becoming a contemporary church like everybody else. Or even an old-fashioned church, maybe. Or a young people church. Or a mission-minded church. A community-focused church. And many other titles. Many of them. Why don't we just make Christ visible? That's why I'm thankful for this church. Because we're making a name for Jesus. His name. We sing that song, there's something about that name. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus our Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and even things under the earth, Paul writes. Exalting Christ is our message. And then thirdly, and last of all, the Crockett Road Church of Christ is a church of faith and love. You see, when you get around people of faith, your faith begins to grow and to develop. When you're around other people, verse 12 says, I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. That is, we're doing this to each other. We are challenging each other. Are you thankful for this church family? And do you belong to the church family? And are you saved? And just when you think there is no hope, God reaches down and says, take my hand and let me lead the way for you. And be still and know that I am God, and together we can do this. And when you're overwhelmed, give it all to God. Then resist the urge to interfere. God doesn't need any instruction. And pray, not only because you need something, but because you have a lot to be thankful for. Hell has no exit, and heaven has one door, and that is Jesus. He is the door. And from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Consider that. That's why we ought to be thankful. John 1 and verse 16. But the devil continually brings charges against us night and day before God. He's standing before God right now. He's trying to bring a charge against me. He's trying to bring a charge against you. But God doesn't bring burdens. He brings blessings. Satan is the accuser. I would never get tired of saying thank you, God, because He never gets tired of waking me up every morning to the dawn of a new day. How thankful I am. In Romans, the 8th chapter begins with a statement that says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And it begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. I'll say it again, no separation. And if we love God and if we want to honor Him, we must walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The Bible says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Become new. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you know what that says? I'm not thankful. If God has provided a way for you to go to heaven, and He is willing to forgive your sin, and you're not a Christian, you know what you're saying? Thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. And thanks, but no thanks translates into no thanks. No thanks. That's why a person is to obey the gospel and to acknowledge his belief in Christ. And we're so thankful and grateful for those who have done that of recent, who've made that commitment unto God, who live for Him and honor Him with their lives. Sometimes as Christians, we grow weak. And because of the pressures of this life, it's so easy for us to drift away from our Creator. Well, wouldn't today be a good time to come back to Him? To acknowledge that before God as we sing this great invitation song.